All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Socialize Your Apps with Facebook Platform seminar. My name is Kato, and I'm a senior in Adam's House. And today I'm going to talk about the Facebook Platform and how you can integrate your integrate Facebook Platform to your websites and applications for your final project. So what can you do with Facebook integration? First of all, there are various modes of using Facebook Platform. The first one, which is very easy, is using what are called social plugins. And you can easily add common social components to your website. And these are like buttons, comment boxes, and face piles, and those profile pictures that appear and stuff. And the next one, which you probably want to use for your final project, is the Canvas application, or the external website, or the desktop application. So what are these? So these allow you to use single sign-on, which means that you, when you sign on to Facebook, you're also signed on to the application that you're creating. And it also means that you get the data, for example, the name, the the gender, data like this, you get via the sign-in process from Facebook. So this lets you create a very easy sign-on process. There's no need for registration, like for problems at the one CS50 Finance. So you can get rid of all of that and just get all the data, which is all validated for you and in a good format. The second thing I'll talk about is Graph API. The Graph API is the basically the API that lets you get data from Facebook and push data to Facebook. For example, posting to a user stream, uploading photos, and such features. Did you have a question?
Yeah. Would any privacy settings of of users prevent you from getting the data?
Yeah. So the question was, do privacy settings affect what you can get from the platform? And absolutely. So there's the privacy settings that control which data is shown to everybody else, and there's also the platform privacy settings. So if someone has opted out of platform, which you can do through privacy settings, then they won't get that data. So basically, only people who have opened up their data to everyone, or to specific people, and have opted into the platform, have not opted out of the platform, will get the data through platform. So social plugins, I talked about very briefly. So these are the like button, I talked about recommendations, login button, things like this. These are very simple to add because you only need one line of HTML, and you can add them to your page, and voila, you'll have Facebook integration in your website. But you probably can't call, if you tell your TF that you did Facebook integration with these social plugins, you're probably not going to get a whole lot of points for that. But you can still use those in addition to the Graph API. So you can do a very holistic Facebook treatment of your website. So Canvas, external website, or desktop, I talked about these three words. So the Canvas application is an application that shows up inside Facebook. So if you've played Farmville or Frontierville or any of the Playfish games or anything that happens inside Facebook, you don't know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, these are Canvas applications. And these are useful because they happen inside Facebook, and since people are spending so much time on Facebook already, they might be inclined to visit your application. It's also you can provide familiar UI elements, so it's very familiar to the user what the user needs to do. So that might be a positive side of using Canvas applications. And you can also use an external website. So if you're like CNN or the New York Times and you've implemented Facebook, you probably don't want to implement your entire website inside the Canvas. So you put it on your own website, but you can still get data from and right to Facebook, even if it's an external website. The third one is a desktop application, and I'm not sure if anyone will be in CS50 will be doing this, but if you write your application in C++ or Objective-C, or if you create an iPhone app, you can add Facebook integration to that as well. And I won't talk about that so much, but some of the examples of Facebook platform. So this is the desktop website, desktop application that I talked about. This is Skype. And in the latest version of Skype, you can get your Facebook friends and their phone numbers, and you can call them. And so that's Facebook integration there. The other types that I talked about, this is from the New York Times, and it appears on the top right hand side corner of the website. And that's using just using Facebook Connect, so it's just using the Graph API or the old API to get the data. Farmville, as I talked about, is using a Canvas application, and this is from CNN, and they are using a social plugin. You can see Facebook social plugin here, so that's very easy. You can see they've customized it a little bit with the header, so it doesn't look like a regular Facebook social plugin, but it is still one of those. And this is David Malin's one of his many enterprises. And this is Harvard Courses, and you can see that I'm logged into Facebook, and my profile picture is there. And I can see friends' shopping lists. So if I click here, I can see what my friends have been shopping. So that's a good example of something that you might want to create for your final project. Okay, so what can I do and what can you not do with Facebook platform? Can you poke people? Well, you can see that you can't actually poke people with the platform. What you can do is you can get people's names, friends, and profile picture. This is basic information, and so if someone opts into your application, then this is data that your application can immediately access. You can also get things like people's birthdays, location, and email, and gender. And these are each controlled by specific privacy settings. So so you have to get something called an extended permission from the user. So this will, in the initial dialogue that asks the user if they want to use your application, they'll get a pop-up saying, this application wants to access your birthday, your email, and stuff like that. So these are things that you have to individually access or individually request. You can also get people's connections. So you can get what posts they've posted, what they've liked, what photo albums they've posted, what books, movies, music they're interested in, photos they're tagged in. These are also require extended permissions for each of those. So you have to tell the user exactly what you're going to request from the user. And this is just for privacy's sake and for making sure the user knows exactly what you're accessing. So you can also publish to the user stream and update their status. So this is something we'll be going over. And it's probably pretty useful. It's very useful for getting your application viral. If you want to get people to recognize your application and especially people on campus to kind of use your website and get friends to use their website, this network effect of getting people to use your application, I've found very useful in getting your application used, and you might want to use that. You can also upload photos, videos, and create events and other sorts of objects in the Facebook sphere. You can't poke people. You cannot friend or defriend other people using the platform. You technically can detect when people defriend you, but this is prohibited. And if you do that, your application will be shut down. You can't detect when people view your profile. It's kind of impossible to do that. Right now, there's no method of sending anyone a Facebook notification or a message. There used to be a way of sending someone a Facebook notification, but that feature was removed because of excessive spam, the spam that we've shown. So you can't do that. Okay, so the Graph API. So Facebook is a social graph, and what that means is that everything, so you're all familiar with what a graph is, and there are nodes in the graph and edges connecting those nodes. An example of a node is a person. A person is a node, and that person is connected to events. He's connected to pictures. She's connected to to videos and things like that. And they're also connected to other friends and pages. So that's what the graph is all about. So each object or each node in this graph has a URL. And for example, if you go to graph.facebook.com/Kato, which is my username. You can actually get the basic data. And for this, you don't actually need to log in. Let's see. If I go to graph.facebook.com/Kato, you can see the public portion of my profile, which is my username, my name, my names, and the link to my Facebook profile and my locale. So this is data that you can get about anyone. So for some people, you might be able to get their gender as well, but I've hidden it from my profile, so you can't see it. So back to the other objects in the graph. You can also get a list of my friends by going to /name/friends. So it's very simple. It's a hierarchy of objects slash whatever belongs to that object. And you can see here it's a bit different. There's an HTTPS, and that's because it's a secure connection. And then you need to specify an access token. So you can't get anyone's friends willy-nilly. You have to create a session with Facebook first. Yep.
If people have the same name, you get like multiple users when you search the graph on Facebook.
Okay. So the question was, if people have the same name, do you get multiple names from the search? It's actually not a search. Kato is my Facebook username, and it's unique across all users. So it's the username that you get when you go to your profile. Mm-hmm. So for example, if this guy, my test user, goes to his profile, he gets this URL Finsta, which is his username. It's very small, sorry. So this is his username. So if you go to your profile, you can find out what your username is. And you might have said it, you might not have said it.
So it's unique?
Yeah, it's unique. If you haven't said it, it's a numeric ID. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, so it's not a search. And you can get things like pages. The British Monarchy is a page, and you can get it by going to graph.facebook.com/the British Monarchy. And you'll find that you'll get much more data because a page is not a private thing, so you'll get more data about what the page is. And if you go to the British Monarchy /photos, you can also get the photos that the British Monarchy has posted on their profile. And these are all GET requests. So do you guys all remember what the difference between a GET request and a POST request is? Yeah. Okay. So these are all GET requests. They don't have anything that's hidden data that you're posting to the server. On the other hand, are POST requests. And you can write to an object. So you can write to someone's feed by posting to this URL. And we'll see how that works later. And you can also post a new note by posting to /me/notes. And /me is a special name used for when you want to get or post from the current user's profile. So if I were logged in as myself, I could do /me and get the same results as /Cato. Okay, any questions? All right. So we talked about GET requests and POST requests and access tokens and all this jazz. If you had to implement those, that would be, you know, kind of tedious work. But there is a thing called the PHP SDK, and SDK is a software development kit. And that's a common name used for anything that any code that helps you interface with an API. The PHP SDK is one of the officially supported platform SDKs, officially supported by Facebook. And the other ones are JavaScript, Python, iOS for iPhone and iPad, and Android as well. So these are available. So if you want to code in those languages, they're also available in those languages. And there are tons of other SDKs available in any language that you can think about that are not officially supported, but are still really good. So the SDK abstracts away the details of, you know, sending requests to the API servers and getting it back. And so you don't need to deal with all the, you know, the coded JSON arrays and stuff. So if you want to get the PHP SDK, you'll want to go to this URL. And there's a download link there where you can get it. So getting started. So I'll show you how to get started with the PHP SDK and how we can get a very basic Facebook application up and ready. So first of all, you need to obtain an application ID and application secret. So this is to help you authenticate yourself to or your application to Facebook. And you'll use this ID and secret every time you connect to Facebook through through the platform SDK. You'll want to download the PHP SDK, obviously, and you can. We'll edit the demo slightly so we can get it up and running, and then we'll do some things to make it work. So, it's enough for the presentation slides. Okay, so first of all, we'll go to github.com/facebook/PHP SDK, and you can download it from here. And then you'll want to, choose the latest one, 2.1.2. And then you can download the zip file from here. And then, are you guys familiar with how you can unzip the file on your computer? That's okay. So you probably, if you're developing on the cloud, so you want to make a new directory, for example, final project. Oops. And then what you want to do is copy the URL. So in your browser, right-click and copy link. And then you can get it. You can download the file by using the wget command. And then you can type the URL. So I'm not sure if this was, David went over this, but basically you want to download it. You can do this by downloading it to your desktop and uploading it to your cloud home directory. But using SFTP. Yeah. Oh, what is the tool that they use? Okay. Okay, CyberDuck or whatever tool you use to upload files. So you can now unzip the file by using the unzip command, and then you'll get this directory of of the SDK. And so you'll see that there is an examples folder, there's a README document, there's a source file, which contains Facebook.php, which is the main component of the SDK, and then tests, which is just unit tests. So what we can do is, once we've downloaded this, we want to set up an application. So we can go to Facebook, and you want to go to facebook.com/developers. And then you'll be, I think, if it's the first time you visited this page, you might be asked to accept the developer application, because I believe the developer application itself is an application that runs on Facebook platform. It's very meta. You can set up a new application, and then choose a name, I don't know, my awesome final project. And then read the terms, and then click agree.
Mm-hmm. Were they downloaded to the cloud, or were they downloaded to a computer?
Okay, so the question was, were the files that I downloaded from GitHub downloaded to the cloud or to my computer? The answer is they were downloaded to the cloud. I don't have access to the cloud, so I'm using my own server, but you would download it to the cloud to use it. Yeah. So now we've created this final project. I just typed in the name and clicked OK. So you can see that you can edit the settings, application name, description, blah, blah, blah. And these are shown to, this data is shown to people who want to use your application. So it's very important that it appears legit and that it doesn't seem like spam. So first thing what we want to do is go to website, the website tab. And then we need to specify the URL of our application. If you don't do this, Facebook will tell you that your application sent invalid parameters. So if you were developing on the cloud, you might type, I think, https://cloud.cs50.net. Correct me if I'm wrong. Whatever your username is, an FP or something. So you want to type in the root directory of your application. So the very basic, for the first page that your users will go to. So don't include index.php or the file name. Okay. So save the changes there. Let's say I saved it. And then we're back to the application. So I'm going to use one of the examples that are in the examples folder. Oops. Oh. So actually, there's only one example, example.php. So this one's a very simple example that creates that does everything that you would need to do if you were connecting to the platform. So the first thing you need to do is create an application instance, and what this means is that you need to specify the app ID, which you got when you created the application. Oops. So the application ID is this one. The long number here is the app ID. The API secret is the second thing that you need, and this is the third one here, application secret. Just type those in here. And I discovered that if you do this, if you type in the right details and you refresh the page, you'll actually be logged out. So it won't actually save where you were, it won't actually save the fact that you were logged into Facebook before you refreshed or before you went to another page. So that's kind of bad. So it turns out that you can add this new line here, domain. And so for the cloud, you would want to type in cloud.cs50.net. And this will help the session keep itself around through refreshes and going to different pages. All right, so those are the only changes that you need to actually get your application up and running. It's very simple. So if I go to, where is this? If I go to the URL, example/example.php, oops. Examples. Okay, that's not quite working. Oh, whatever. we'll go back to the one that I created earlier, which is example1.php. If you want to follow along later, you can actually go to akato.me/platsem/example1.php. This is the URL.
Can we access it?
Yeah, you can access it. So let's see. I'm going to do something here. I'm going to delete the. So this is actually something you might want to do when you develop your application. And that is, you might sometimes want to delete the fact that your you have visited the application, and so you can test the new user experience or like test the dialogues that appear at the beginning. So what you can do is go to account privacy settings, and then here there's an applications and websites link here, and then you can click edit your settings, and let's see, CS50 example we have here, whoops. And then we can click on remove application. And then the fact that you've used this application will disappear. OK, so we're back to square one. OK, so welcome to my guest book, Login, You're Not Connected. So what is this doing? I'll show you how it works first. So if you click on Login, you'll be presented with CS50 example is requesting permission to do the following. And then it says, access my basic information. So this is useful to note. These are the basic pieces of data that you can get from anyone, which is name, profile picture, gender, networks, user ID, list of friends, and any other information you've shared with everyone. This is the data you can get if your user has accepted your application. And then click Allow. And then we're back to example1.php. And then you have your profile picture, your name, and some data that I've printed out. So the data here is, as we saw earlier, it's very similar to what was displayed from my profile when you went to graph.facebook.com/kato. But you can see here that this user has more data, like gender, time zone, and the fact that it's a verified user and the last time the profile was updated. So this data is available because Fick has approved the application and has said, yeah, you can access my basic information. And here's the basic information. So how did I do this? Or how did the example do this, rather? So first of all, we create a new instance of Facebook. So we create a new connection to the Facebook platform. And the next thing we want to do is to get the session. So Facebook get session gets the session, and this checks to see if you're logged into Facebook and whether you're logged into the application. And so if it is, it'll return a valid session. And there's some comments here that explains. The next thing you want to do is to check to see, to try to get the profile of the person who's logged into your application. So the first thing I do is get the user ID. So you can call the get user function on the Facebook object. Okay, so this gets the user ID. And the user ID is the Facebook user ID. So every user on Facebook has a unique user ID. And this is a number that's assigned to everyone. And then the next thing I'm doing is getting Facebook, I'm calling the /me. And so can anyone try to guess what the /me thing is? It begins with a slash, so it looks like a URL. So
accessing the database?
Yeah, so it's accessing the Facebook database. What it's doing is actually going to graph.facebook.com/me, which, if you remember, is the current user's profile. So $me will contain some kind of representation of the current user's profile. And then so try catch. This catches any errors that happen inside the API calls. And if there are any errors, it'll call this error log function. So here you'll want to do something like, you know, if you're using the framework from CS50 Finance, you might want to call apologize or something that, you know, signifies to the user that there's been an error.
Oh, do you have any change if I change places? If I change my IP address, would the UID change?
So the question is, will your user ID change if you change location, your IP? The answer is no. Your user ID never changes, so it's the same for everyone. It's unique to everyone. Yeah. Okay, so the next thing I'm doing is getting. So these are variables that are useful later. Logout URL, Facebook get logout URL, Facebook get login URL, and these are just functions that are available inside the PHP SDK. And this gets the appropriate login URL and logout URL. So you saw here that when I was logged out, it showed a login button. And then when I was logged in, it displayed a logout button. So how I'm doing that is by calling if me is set to something that's not null, then it'll print out the logout URL or the logout link. And if me is set to something is null, then it'll print out the login URL. So dollar me is a very useful way to check to see if your user's logged into Facebook or not, or logged into your application or not. Yep. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. And then we continue. If dollar me, then we print out this you thing, and we print out the user's profile picture. And so how this is being done is that we're accessing. This is basically, it's just an image, but it's hosted on Facebook. And you can just call https graph.facebook.com/the user's user ID/picture. So this is very useful because that means that you can actually go to graph.facebook.com/any person's username/picture. Or if they don't have, you can type in someone's user ID, like for, and then get Mark Zuckerberg's face. So this is what this is doing. So it's very easy to print out a profile picture of someone, given their user ID. So if you have the me object, the dollar me is actually an associative array of various data that's available to you or your application. And so you can say dollar me name, and name is one of the variables available, and that gets the name of the current person's user profile. So that's why you were able to. So this is the associative array that's in the object, and so you can see why me dollar me name will print out the user's name. That makes sense, right? So it's just an associative array of all of these things, and then it's just printing out the user object. So does that example make sense? Yep. Okay. Cool. So let's do something a little bit more sophisticated. Example 2.php. All right. So example 2.php, what this does, this introduces a new concept of extended permissions and data that you cannot get by just getting their basic information. And so what I'm going to do here is log out. And when I log in, so you can see that there's another request for permission. Even though you've already authorized the application, you're getting an additional dialog prompting you for more data. And it's saying, now the application wants to access your profile, access your current city. So how I've so if you allow this, you can see that it now has a new field that wasn't there before, location. And then you can see that Fick actually lives in Cambridge, Cambridgeshire, in the UK. And so you can say here, you live in Cambridge, Cambridgeshire. So what I did here was, first of all, I requested, so I changed the login URL slightly. So I've made this get login URL used to take no parameters, but now it takes one array. And in the array, I have this field called rec_perms. And then I've requested user_location as an extended permission. So there's a list of extended permissions on the Facebook developer's website. There's a link in the slides, which I'll post shortly after. But let's see. Google extended permissions. There we go. So this is a list of extended permissions that you can get from a user. And here's the one that I've used, user_location. And it says it provides access to the user's current location as the location property. So if we want to get the location of a user, that's how we're going to do it. And so once the user's logged in with this additional permission requested, we can say something like, you live in me location name. And we need this this name business because the location is not a string. It's actually location itself is another array inside the array with an ID which points to the page that represents the location and the actual string representation of the location. Okay. That's how you'd get the user's location. That makes sense, right? Any questions?
Where did you ask other location.
Okay.
Which line
code? So where did I get the location? The extended permission, or okay.
Like which line of code mm-hmm. helped you assess the information?
Okay. Let's see. So I actually modified the login URL. So the URL that users go to when they want to log into the application has been modified with this extra parameter. This used to be just get login URL, open parens, close parens. But now it has this array with the extra extended permission. And you can add additional extended permissions by adding extended permissions to the string. So you can say user underscore location, comma, friend underscore location, which would get the user's location and the user's friend's locations.
But if I accept it, like mm-hmm. next time I log in, would it ask me again?
No. So the question was, will it ask me again? The answer is no. It will never. It'll only ask you once to accept the fact that the application is accessing that data. OK. So. That's also pretty simple. Example three. Oops. OK, so this one looks a bit more interesting. So what is this doing? It is. So you can see here that it's actually requesting an additional permission called publish underscore stream. And what this is doing is requesting the permission to publish to the user's stream. So I set the user status and then post to the feed. And so this is a very good way of making sure that your user's friends are aware of the application. So if we go down, I'll show you what this does. So I don't know, if I type, oh, hi, and then greet the world. Whoa. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. So what happened? OK, yeah. So I haven't got the permission yet. So I have to log out. So obviously, when you make your application, you want to create a list of all the permissions that you'll want in your application and then request them all at once. So now it's requesting permission to post to my wall. And then I allow that. And then I can type something and then greet the world. Success. And so if I go to my, you can see that it's posted, oh, hi, 6 seconds ago by a CS50 example. So you can see that your user's friends will know what application was used to access it. All right, so that's example three. I'll show you how that was done. So first of all, this is very simple setup code. Just creating a form, posting the message as dollar underscore post message, and this should be familiar to you. And so what I'm doing here is if me, so if dollar me, meaning if the user is logged in, and is set dollar underscore post message, so if the message has been posted, then do this. So we're posting to the API this URL, so slash UID slash feed. So this is the post URL that I talked about in the last slide, where you want to you specify the user ID and then their feed and then post to it. And so this is the first argument. This is the second argument, and the third argument contains the message. So this is a pretty simple API because you can just specify the URL that you want to act on, and then you specify how you want to act on it, get or post. If it's get, it's optional. And then if it's post, you can specify more things to post to it, like the message. So that's how it's posting the status update to the user. It's pretty simple, right? Yeah. Okay. If every time we call an API function, we want to make sure that we catch any errors that happen inside the API call. Just like if you're acting with interfacing with a database, you want to make sure that you catch any errors. You want to make sure that you catch any errors in Facebook's API. You can show the error, and then if you do try catch, $e will be the error message that was returned from Facebook. Okay? You have any questions? Yeah?
What's with the try and catch syntax? What does it do?
Okay, so the try catch syntax, what it does is it tries this thing. Oops. It tries whatever is in this in the try block, and then if any of that throws an exception, which is an error, then it'll go immediately to the catch part of the the code, and then it'll execute whatever's in catch. So what that means is that if the Facebook arrow API function throws an exception, then this line will never be called because it's going to jump immediately to the catch section. So I've used this to great effect here by only printing out success if it's able to go past the API function call. So that's how you can differentiate between a success and a failure in an API call. All right, any questions about this? No?
What is the strong on the
83?
What exactly is that?
Strong. Strong is the another way to do the bold tag.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's more semantic than presentation, so it's more correct. All right, so that's example three. And then example four expands on this guestbook example. And then you can see that if you stored all these messages that were going into the greet the world function, if people clicked on greet the world and their data was stored not only on Facebook, but also in the local database, you can print out the previous messages that were printed to the or that were sent to the guestbook. So this is not so much API as much as it is just database stuff. Let's see. Yeah. So I'm doing some hand waving here. You guys know how to get data from a database, so you'll do that. And then for each data, we're just printing out the profile picture. Getting the user ID from the database, and then slash picture, and then getting the name from the database, and then printing out the message. That's very simple. So I did this to illustrate the fact that when you create a Facebook application, you probably want a local database as well, so a MySQL database. So you want to store things like the user ID that accessed your website, their name, and any details that you think might be useful in printing out their details later on.
So it was
with
the data as row.
Like? Oh, yeah. So data as row. So data is an array, and this is the same as a for loop. It's the it's getting each row of the data array, and then for each of those rows, it's assigning that data to the $row variable.
Okay.
So it's the same as a for loop, but it's $row equals each row.
So this is like basically iterating through
yeah.
row.
Right. Yeah, it's an iteration through each of the rows in the dollar data array. Yeah. All right. Any questions about that?
Would there be anything as data as column by any chance?
Data as column? It depends on what your data is stored as. If your data is storing each column as a row in the array, then sure. But usually you iterate through database rows by row. Database results by row. Okay. I forgot to show you example 1.5.php. One of the most important things about Facebook is your friends. If you want to access your friends' data, your friends, in this case, I'm iterating through each of the user's friends and then printing out their profile picture. If you want to do that, then you want to go to slash me slash friends. And so in addition to getting the user ID using the get user function here, and then calling the API function slash me to get the current user's object, I'm getting the friends of the current users of the current user by calling the slash me slash friends graph object. Okay. And then that'll put it in the $friends array. And I'll show you what the $friends array actually looks like. So the $friends array looks like this. It's an array that contains data, which itself is an array, which contains all of these friend rows, which are also arrays. So it's an array and an array and an array. And each of these rows, which represent each friend, is just the name and the ID of the friend. And so you can imagine if you have this user ID if you have a friend's user ID, you can do things on that. So you can operate on that, like getting their profile picture, or getting their mutual friends, or posting to their feed, or things like that. But note that if you want to act on your users' friends, then you need to get an extended permission separately for their friends. And you can see on the extended permissions document, in addition to these user underscore blah permissions, there are also these friends underscore blah permissions. So if you don't get these permissions, you'll only be able to access the users' data, not the users' friends' data. Okay. So that's another extended permission that you have to get. Okay. So what I'm doing here is for each of the friends. So this is another for each loop. You'll want to use the for each loop a lot in using the PHP SDK, because you're often iterating through each friend or a set of users. So saying for each friend's data as friend. So friend's data is just the second level of this array. So you can see that $friends itself is an array, but it contains this data row, and that in itself is an array. So we're iterating over that array by calling friends data as friend. Does that make sense? And then we're getting the user ID slash picture. So that you see that's a recurring theme that you'll want to use. So one thing that I want to note here is when you call an API function, you want to make sure that it returned properly. So you want to make sure that it's not null. So I'm doing if $friends. And you also want to make sure that the data row is not null either. Because I don't know, something might happen, and data might be null. It probably won't be, but it might. And you have to make sure, if you call any external API functions, you must make sure that anything that you call is correct.
So just a quick follow-up, the for each and as, that line.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see a thing called friend in the data.
Right. So the $friend variable here is a temporary variable.
Yes.
And it should not exist. So what it's doing is, if this was a for saying for I equals 0, count friends data, $i plus plus.
So
you're just creating it, and then the same here. So that's what the for each loop is the equivalent of.
Array.
Right? So it's iterating through each of the friends data array. That makes sense? Cool. All right. All right, so yeah, that's getting the friends. Is there any data, or like other? Do you guys have any questions? Like, you know, is it possible to do this, or how do I get this kind of data? No. Okay. I'll just show you a quick example of something that I whipped up last semester, which is called Harvard Cells, and it basically lets you import pictures from your Facebook photo albums. And then it posts them to this feed that's on an external website. So this is a this is an external website Facebook integration. And then you can do things like, what are your friends selling? So I'm logged in as myself, and it's showing what my friends were selling on Harvard Cells. So I'll show you how it gets the photo albums. So if you click on Start Selling, you can see a list of my photo albums. And let's say I want the squirrels photo album. And then you see it's imported the squirrels photo album from Facebook. And then you can select what you want to do. So let's say, you know, $60, you know, cute squirrel. Oops. And then, and then you can sell, so you can see that I am now selling a squirrel for $60. So there are a number of components to this. The first one would be getting the photo albums of the user, and this is the actual code that's running. So I'm getting the albums by calling /me/albums, which is the current user's albums. And then I'm just printing out a list using the same for each syntax that we saw in the example, and then printing out each of the names in the album. And so you'll notice that if you handle any of these objects in Facebook, each object in the Facebook sphere has an ID. And so in this case, each album has a FB ID, a Facebook ID, and we're getting the ID of the album by calling the by reading the ID field from the album array. So that's just reading, and then this is reading the name field from the album. And so that's how I printed out the text list of each of the albums.
Sorry,
what do you
mean? How do we print it out? Like, do we download it? No.
Oh, so...
how do we assess the photo?
I see. So how do you access the photo? In this case, you're actually just printing out the ID of the album and the name, because we want to transport the ID that we've gotten for the photo album to the next page. So we're not accessing the photos at this point.
Right.
Yeah. But in the next page, we will be accessing the photos. So what I'm doing here is... So $AID is the variable that I got from the previous page, which was $AlbumID, is now $AID. And then I can do /AID photos. And this will get all the photos in a particular album. So AID stands for album ID. So /AlbumID /photos will get all the photos in that album ID. And here's an extra thing that I've put here that limits the number of results to 50 photos. And so I'm doing basically the same kind of thing. If the API call succeeded and the data is set, then okay. And then for each of the this is a bunch of code. But, for each of the photos, the photos data, I'm setting that to the $P value variable. That's a very bad variable name, so don't do that. So what I'm doing here is basically, so each photo also has an ID. So I can get the photo's ID by calling $PID. And then $PPicture, you'll see, is the URL to the actual image itself. And so that's how you can import the photo. You're not actually transferring any data. You're just showing it to the user. Image circ PPicture. And then... Yeah, basically that's how it's printing out the picture. And then you can also do $PName to get the caption of the photo from Facebook. And how I figured out that it was called ID, or it was called picture, or it was called name, was, you know, you can experiment. You can just print_r the component, the contents of $P, but you can also look at the documentation. So this is the Graph API reference. And it shows you each of the objects. So if you go to photo, you can figure out from here the picture is the album-sized view of the photo. So the album-sized square thumbnail. The source is the full-sized source of the photo. So you might want to use that if you're creating like a photo album experience or something. Link which links directly to the photo on Facebook. So this is how you can figure out what kind of data data you can get from Facebook. The Facebook's API, and how to get that data. Okay, so have any questions about anything that I said? Nope. Okay, so the last slide that I have here has some links to the documentation. Developers.facebook.com/docs is the first page that you'll see when you go to the documentation. And then you can see there's a lot of links to especially the Graph API, which you'll find useful, and the expanded permissions page, which I showed earlier, is also useful. And also the Graph API reference. I'll put that in the slide and post it as well, so you can see what objects are available and what data is available inside that object. On the documentation, and if you're Googling around for help on the Facebook platform, you'll see words like OpenGraph. The OpenGraph protocol is not related to the Graph API, even though it has the word graph in it. It's sort of related, but not really. And it's basically a way of, for example, on IMDb, each movie has an OpenGraph representation. So it's like, you know, it has the picture, it has the year of the movie, and stuff like that. So it's not related to the SDK or the platform. The platform APIs. So OpenGraph, that's not related. you'll find FQL, which is like SQL, but it's a it's an advanced method of accessing Facebook data, not using the Graph API. There's probably not anything there that you can't access using the Graph API, so no worries about FQL. You'll find FBML. FBML, you don't need to worry about, because FBML is deprecated and mainly used for the JavaScript SDK and for Canvas apps. Let's see, what else will you find? You'll find the old REST API, REST, REST API. And this is the old API that allows you access, that was the thing before the Graph API came along last year, or this year. So you don't need to worry about the REST API. But if there are, there may be features that you want to access from the REST API. So if you go to the documentation, you'll see API reference, advanced APIs, old REST API. And then you'll see it's, we're in the process of deprecating the REST API. But there are some features that are still not available in the Graph API that are available in the REST API. So one thing that I found very useful last week was friends.getMutualFriends. So this lets you get the mutual friends of one user and another user, provided that one of those users is you. So you can get the mutual friends between, you know, between a user and their friend. And there's no way to get that using the Graph API right now, not that I know of. So if you want to call one of these REST API functions, you can actually call it from the Graph API using a sort of or the PHP SDK using a sort of a special method. And I'll just show you, that in case you need it. Okay, so actually, this is not the okay. So in, ignore batch.run. Let's say this is friends.getMutualFriends. So what you want to do is call Facebook arrow API. This is exactly the same as calling any of getting any object in the Graph API, right? But you want to instead of specifying the URL as the first parameter, you want to specify an array as the first parameter. And in that array, you want to provide the method name as method. So this would be something like friends.getMutualFriends. And then you want to specify any arguments that it needs. So if we switch back here, we see that we need the target UID and the source UID. And the source UID is not necessary if you're logged in, because it defaults to the current session user. And current session user means the current user that's logged in. So we don't need the source UID. Let's just specify the target UID. And then, target UID, and then let's say you have a variable. And this is how you, you can call a old REST API function from the Graph API or from the PHP SDK. Does that make sense? You might want to use this if you're using some advanced functionality of the API. Okay, let's see. I think that's all that you'll see. So there's a lot of pages on the internet that will use the old API or the old SDK, and you might want to avoid those, because if it's older than I think late 2009, then it'll probably refer to the old API, in which case it might not be very useful if you're working with the Graph API. So yeah, so look for new tutorials if you're looking for those. All right, any questions?
Then? Is yep. that open source? Like, say if mm-hmm. I know this application, I want to see what their code looks like, mm-hmm. am I allowed to do that?
So the question was, are these apps open source? Most apps are not open source, and because it's PHP, it's on the server, so you can't see the source code. Yeah. But if you're interested in any of the functionality I showed, I can post those on the CS50 website. All right. If you have no questions, it's, yeah. And if you have any questions, feel free to contact me. My email address is on the first slide. There. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.